In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Thanks so much for joining us again today for the Word of Life radio ministry. It is indeed God's Word for our lives. And as we started a study last week concerning suffering being a part of the package deal, power of his resurrection, Philippians 3:10, and the fellowship of his sufferings, how suffering is a part of the package deal of our growth and the development of our character. We were looking at the passage of Scripture in Genesis 37, verses 18 to 35, concerning the suffering that took place in Joseph's life after he had got the dreams of leadership and God's power and things like that. And his half-brothers decided, yeah, we're going to take care of those dreams. And he came down to them, and they said, well, let's kill him. At that point, Reuben, the oldest, said, well, let's just throw him in a pit here. Let's not kill him, because he wanted to come back and get him out of the pit and save his life. But then Judah came along and said, listen, we're not profiting from just throwing him into a pit. Here comes some slave traders, Ishmaelites. Let's sell him to them. So they got 20 pieces of silver, selling their own half-brother into their hands. Now, we said, let's always look for the hand of the Lord when you're going through suffering. Notice, first of all, God moved Reuben to suggest that they not kill Joseph, but put him into a pit so he could later rescue him. All right? If God had not moved Reuben to say that, and had not moved upon the hearts of the brothers to okay the plan, that's the second point. That was the finger of God, putting the thought into Reuben's mind, giving the brothers the okay with that plan, that they wouldn't be, quote-unquote, guilty of his death. And then God moved the Ishmaelites to pass by at that very time. That's not an accident. That was God's plan, God's timing. Because you can see the hand of the Lord in the midst of our suffering. Now, Joseph had no clue what was going on. He didn't know how God was working, what was happening, how God's plan was going to be taking place in about 20 years. But he knew he was suffering. So the Ishmaelites come by, and he gets sold to them as a slave. And then God moves Judah to suggest selling him, keeping him alive, all that type of thing. You see the finger of God. And you see, when you and I are going through times of suffering, it's a good idea for us to just kind of sit down with an open Bible and say, Lord, I want you to teach me something about yourself, something about others, and something about myself, because I want to see your hand. I want to begin to know more about you and who you are and what your plan is and how you're going to use the suffering to develop my character and to develop my Christian testimony. See, all this time, God was teaching Joseph who he was and how he worked through suffering to prepare him for future effective service. It's amazing how God brought him into Egypt, and he was sold to the captain of the guard of the Pharaoh, the capital city. So he would have some contact with the guy that was totally in charge of protecting the Pharaoh. So every day, God gave Joseph special favor in the eyes of Potiphar. And Potiphar, I'm sure, was able to kind of teaching some things about the palace. And then, of course, later when Potiphar's wife falsely accused him and Potiphar had him thrown into his own prison, not the national prison, but his own prison, so that in a few years, the butler and the baker of the Pharaoh were thrown into that same prison. And he was able to interpret their dreams and eventually stand before Pharaoh to interpret his dream. Do you see the hand of God? See, God was teaching him who he was. But God was also teaching him to be patient. Patient. See, I want you to remember something. Our breakthrough moments rarely happen in a season of comfort. Our breakthrough moments of faith rarely happen in a season of comfort. It's usually in times of trial. It's usually when we're in the valley. Remember, the songwriter said, but in the valley he restoreth my soul. It's in the valley that we learn who God is. Now, we're going through a valley of a pandemic, of uncertain economic times, and businesses going out of business, and millions of people losing their jobs, and the pandemic coming back in so many different hotspots. And I guess the question is, what's God doing? Where is the hand of God in our land? Well, could it be, number one, God is calling our churches to our knees? To our knees. So often, we feel like, Lord, we don't need you. We've got this. And often God has to show us how powerless we are, how broken we are, and calling us to our knees. Has your church been called to its knees? Has your church begun to have special prayer meetings? Have your friends gotten together, maybe around a table, maybe in the backyard, just for times of prayer? Maybe God is calling us to our knees. Or how about this? Maybe God is calling us to repent and renew broken relationships with family members or maybe past friends that we used to be good friends with, but now that relationship has been broken and there's bitterness and there's a history. Is God calling us to repent and renew those broken relationships? Is God trying to humble us, to bring us to the point that we will renew broken friendships and relationships that the world is watching between believers, and they haven't seen that fellowship, that love that Jesus said would be characteristic of his children? Is God calling us to repent and renew broken relationships? Is God putting somebody's name in your mind right now? Somebody you need to call? Maybe somebody you need to write? Maybe somebody you need to get together and have coffee and just lay things on the table and simply say, I am so sorry for what I have said or done that has been a part of this relationship broken. Is God calling us to do that? Or thirdly, is God wanting us to readjust our focus, to think of others outside the church more? Prior to this, it was so easy for us to have spent so much time in church, with church people, in church fellowships, in church activities, in church trips, in church services, in church Bible studies, church, 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 church. Is God trying to readjust our focus outside of the circle of church friendships? Is God trying to help us to see a world that is quickly slipping into a burning hell? How about our focus? Or number four, does God want to help us readily identify with the sufferings of those who are lost, making us more sensitive to their sufferings? Those that are lost, those who have lost their jobs, those who have maybe lost income, those who have lost insurance, which is a big thing, those who have been laid off, maybe they've lost a bundle of money, all of their security was in their money, and now they've lost it. Is God wanting us to identify more closely with their sufferings? Be more sensitive, more thoughtful, more caring, more prayerful. Or number five, have you lost a significant portion of your own financial investments? Is God therefore redirecting your future investments closer to that which will last for eternity? I'm talking about our investments as believers. Have we lost a significant portion just to kind of let us know that only investing for that which is eternal is guaranteed? Is he trying to redirect some of our future investments? Do you have your local church in your will so that when you pass on, part of your estate goes to help the continuing ministry of your church? Or number six, have you lost a job? Does the Lord want you to consider making a change right now into a different direction of employment, maybe a different calling? Is God wanting to use this time of suffering to have you reconsider what you're doing, how you're investing your life? Maybe he's trying to make a change. Now, it's interesting, we're talking about Joseph going through times of suffering. Did you know that Joseph's name in Hebrew is translated adding, A-D-D-I-N-G? Isn't that interesting? Adding. So the question is, what was God adding to his life? Another question is, what is the Lord adding to your life during this time of suffering? Maybe this time of loss. For Joseph, I think God was adding patience, making him wait 13 years from the promise of the leadership to the actual fulfillment. 13 years. God was adding patience. Is God trying to add any patience to your Christian life? Adding. Joseph's name, adding, may refer to adding character. See, Joseph responded well to his betrayal, his slavery, and then his later imprisonment, which is amazing. The question is, are you adding character during these times of being set aside? Are you adding character during these times of financial loss? See, we often want to change our circumstances, but God wants to change our character. I'll say that again. We often want to change our circumstances, or we want God to change our circumstances, but God wants to change our character. So the question is, are you adding godly character? Or thirdly, are you adding moral purity? Remember, Joseph refused the immoral advances of Mrs. Potiphar? He was adding moral purity. And our passion for Christ is the power to keep us pure today. The more we grow in love with our Lord, the more pure we will want to be. And it could be that God wants you to pause right now and just kind of consider, what is God wanting to add to my life and ministry as a result of this continuing pandemic? What is God wanting to add? Just as Joseph's name could be translated adding, how about your name? What are you adding? Now, Joseph learned that suffering could be very helpful when, first of all, you turn to the Lord for instruction, when you turn to the Lord for endurance, and for eventually deliverance. See, the Lord didn't suffer so you wouldn't have to suffer, but he suffered so that when you do, you'll become like him. That's Romans 8, 28 and 29 for everyday living. All things working together for good to them who love God. And verse 29 says that his purpose is that we might be conformed to the image of his Son, that's Jesus Christ. So when Joseph was going through suffering, he turned to the Lord and basically began to let the Lord lead him and teach him. Secondly, suffering can be helpful when we're sensitized to the sufferings of others. We saw that that's exactly what happened when the butler and baker were thrown into the same prison as Joseph. He became sensitized to the sufferings of others. My precious friend, is that true of you? As you're going through the sufferings that you are today, are you becoming more sensitive to the sufferings of everybody else around you, of the strangers that you meet? God wants us to be his representatives in a cold and hopeless world. Until the next time, think on these thoughts. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.